shall we pray. Heavenly Father, again we say it's a great privilege to be here in this house, Lord, that has been dedicated to the Word, and we trust, Lord, that that dedication has not been in vain, but the house and the Word's actually one, Lord, and the people, above all, one with that Word, living Word manifested in their own degree, in their own capacities, as God has dealt with them and given them that privilege. Now, Lord, we pray tonight that we'll, as we go into your Word, Lord, that it'll be more marvelous to us than ever before, and we'll see these things that have been brought out, even more clearly brought out tonight, and see where we stand, Lord, in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to just continue quickly with the prayer, because there's no point in going back. We'll try to finish off tonight. Now, Brother Branham says on page 26, paragraph 141, I'm in my tabernacle here, and there's a few people sitting here that I do know. Brother, right, a few of these sitting here, that right along here, I do know. But there's many of you I do not know, and I have no way of saying that God will do this tonight. Now, what's this? The appearing in signs and wonders. The showing through discernment that the office of the prophet. Now, he doesn't know that will happen. Many times he would say, we will ask him to come. We don't know if he'll come, but we'll ask him. And then he'd say, he is here. And, of course, at that time he said, he would say, I, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take every spirit in this building under my control for the glory of God. Now, he says, I have no way of saying that God will do this tonight. He was speaking of the appearing. Remember, we closed off last Sunday. We have seen him do it for the past few years, past years and years, but he might not do it tonight. I don't know. That's up to him. He's sovereign. He does what he wishes to. No one can tell him what to do. He abides alone in his will and his ways. But because that he promised it, I'm asking him to do it. Not for our sakes that we need it, but maybe for some stranger's sake, and that the Holy Spirit might be anointed. He just jumbles a bit here. Now anointing upon us, or the Holy Spirit anointed that end. Now, no matter how much he anoints me, he's got to anoint you too, certainly, to believe. All right? What he's asking here then of the Lord and before the people is that the Lord will appear and manifest himself in signs and wonders to the end that the pillar of fire which he sees and taken by the camera, what was taken there, is vindicated to be correct. Now, let's look and understand that and see what this is all about. He is here. There's no two ways about it. But the natural eye cannot see him outside of a prophet. That's the exclusive ministry of a prophet, the exclusive way that God has done it. Now, we see him in signs and wonders. And we cannot see him there, and we cannot see him there. But God is able to bring it around through the eye of the camera. Now, this is what most people are not apprehending when Brother Branham says this. But see, he based so much upon what he was seeing. And he said, I tell you by vision what the natural eye cannot see. And you know, most people are very loath to believe in something such as this. But you let them have a little flash of fire on or a light on some kind of a Polaroid camera, or a little goose pimple, or the refrigerator to open by itself and a light come out of it, and hallelujah, you're greater than Noah and the Ark and Enoch and Jesus Christ himself. You know, it's pitiful. But you see, this the seriousness of Brother Branham to place himself where he was placed by God in the minds and eyes of the people. Okay, now, I want to have a prayer line, and I want to pray for the sick as much as I can. Now, we can either have a line to call the people and bring them up here, prayer line, and pray for everybody here, the sick, I suppose, have my minister brothers come here with us and lay hands upon you. We can sure do that. Or either we can ask our Father, who is the only one that could do anything for you, because my hand is just like you men. But the thing of it is, it isn't the human hand that does it, it's the Word of God. Faith in that Word is what does it. No scientific thing about it, it's altogether unscientific. There's not one thing the Christian has in his armor that's scientific. Did you know that? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, faith, Holy Ghost. Everything is unseen by science. And that's the only thing that's real and lasting. Everything you look at comes from the earth and goes back to the earth. But the things that you can't see with your eyes, but see it, declare itself. That's the world of the eternal. All right. You might get a little insight in by 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to too much scripture in these messages. But 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 16, it says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you might wonder how you can link this up with that pillar of fire. Well, it's very simple, because you see, already, this is following 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says here, But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory counts, which glories be done away. Now you notice in there that the glory, which was to be done away, and then having seen it on Moses' face, would cause them far more trouble than if they'd never ever seen it. So therefore you might see that and never see it again. Then where are you? Well, it could be a little fluke. You know, it could have been something, well, you don't really don't know. But you see, your faith doesn't lie in the pillar of fire itself seeing it. Your faith lies in the word that's been vindicated and events made clear so that you know where you're standing without seeing. You're not given to see anyway. You see, and what you would see is going to be temporal. The healing's all. But what you see, God bringing revelation, we ought to never ever die. That's eternal. And you got to see that with your spiritual eye. Okay. Reading on here, 144. Would you believe if God would manifest himself and show that he is here alive doing the same things that he did at the beginning after this message, would you accept it as your healing? Now, you'll notice in here he said, if God would manifest himself. Would you believe if God would manifest himself and show that he is here alive, that's the same as he did forever and alive, doing the same things that he did at the beginning after this message, once the message is over, now it's finished, would you accept it as your healing? Now, it didn't say accept healing, it says accept it as your healing. Now, you notice what he's doing? He's beginning to throw the weight of faith upon a knowledge. Not just something you're believing, but something you're beginning to know. He's throwing faith into a higher revelation and a higher realm. Now, just watch this. Now, he said, if God would manifest himself, that means this is God in signs and wonders, proving, as I said, the pillar of fire caught by the camera. Also, this is the Son of Man revealed in his Son of Man office and present with the people in that office as the Son of Man. All right? Let me read you here on harvest time. The Son of Man revealed, harvest time. The Son of Man is the Word living itself again among the people. The Son of Man is the Word living itself among the people. Now, again, watch your phraseology again now. Brother Branham, we thought that the pillar of fire was the Son of Man, and there are those that say, you're the Son of Man. He said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, all right, here we got the pillar of fire. We got William Branham. We've also got the Son of Man. How is that done? It is done through the very office that Christ had in the flesh, now by the Spirit, in a prophet and through a prophet. You follow me? Now, you just keep those thoughts in mind because we're getting definitive, and we'll get further into this as we go along. All right. Now then, if you come to this place to receive that, will you then accept it as your healing? Because what's he here for? To heal you. See? He is here to heal. Brother Branham was always faithful to his commission. I've sent you to pray for the sick, that the sick may be healed. I've given you a gift of healing to take to the world. So therefore now, our faith in healing and for healing has taken a spiral. Now most people it didn't. They got caught up with the, not the children's bread, but the fancy wrappings that came in. And they couldn't differentiate between the fancy wrappings, which we're talking about now, manifestation, which was to lead you to what you were to get from God. So therefore, thousands of people who could have been healed never were healed. Thousands of doors opened to Brother Branham, picking him out of the congregation. Nothing happened. Because they couldn't get past the phenomenon of what we're looking at here, talking about. May God grant it. Now, I'm asking anybody in the house, no matter who you are, where you're from, I'm asking you to just solemnly believe this message to be the truth. All right? That is the message that God has in His Bible for this hour. Now, listen to what the message is. That Jesus Christ is here tonight and alive. That's when they asked Brother Bob Brown, what part does that play in the message? He said, that present. He said, it is the message. He didn't know he's quoting the prophet. He's not that smart. Neither the rest of us. You're none of us that smart. You're tuned into the Holy Ghost. That's the only reason you know. You understand these things. That is the message that God has in His Bible for this hour. That Jesus Christ is here and alive, see, this hour, not previously. Now, there again, you're getting to understand when Brother Branham said you Luthers potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Luthers potentially had the Holy Ghost. Pentecostal potentially had the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost baptism gave way to the Holy Ghost Himself. Justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the Holy Ghost Himself. There has to be a people, a bride, who has God Himself for her God. Not the baptism, not a gift. Now we're getting to little token and big token. We're getting to the sealing in by the Holy Spirit to the great sealer Himself, the great seal. Why didn't Brother Brown talk to the great seal over the pyramid? Because the bride's a pyramid. Back to headship. Capstone comes down. Christ comes down. Puts Himself head of the church to raise the dead. Do you think people believe this doctrine? Come on. This doctrine no more suits the theologians than nothing, and no theologians understand this. And the church is getting further and away, further and further away. And I believe some in this message are getting further and further away. You notice how the simplicity of going is makes it clearer and clearer. The simplicity coming more and more. All boiled down to what is the message? He's here. What's He doing? That's His business. What did He do? He convinced us. Well, what's He here for? To raise the dead and get us out of here. What do you think? Came down with His own shout. He's His own prophet. His own everything. And people wonder why. Let them wonder why. Never mind finishing my sentence. Why bother? All you people know of me. I'm right here in town where I was raised up. I don't even have a grammar school education. That's exactly true. You know me long enough. I hope I've lived before you to show that I'm honest and sincere. I'm not a hypocrite. Even my critics don't say that. They do now, though. Call them worse than that. Hallelujah. They just say you're not a hypocrite, but you're just simply wrong. You're just ignorantly wrong, not willfully. I don't think I'm ignorantly wrong, because the Word of God testifies of my message, and it should tell you who it is. Now, what is He saying there? He's telling you absolutely that He has a vindication that proves He's right with that Word. Now, I ask the question, could a prophet get by with only a power ministry, or is it like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-8? Now, everybody wanted to agree that Brother Branham had a power ministry, but when it came to his doctrine, he was all messed up. That's what they said at Middletown, Chautauqua, back in Ohio, 1959 or so, what it was. They said, well, you know, Brother Branham's a prophet when he's discerning, but always his doctrine's all messed up. How in the world could a prophet be messed up with his doctrine? I'm not saying some prophets couldn't be, but you're looking at an unusual prophet, a word prophet. How could it be? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians here, and we'll get finished, you know, if not this Wednesday, another Wednesday or something. But I've got to kind of quit preaching for a while. Getting tired. Now, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 2, first verse, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, he wasn't testifying to God. He was giving God's own testimony of God's self to this man. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now listen, notice that was Paul's message. Christ and Him crucified through the pillar of fire anointing. What will this man's message be? Christ risen, uncrucified. Oh, sure, they'll crucify themselves the Son of God afresh. How he can't crucify the Son of Man afresh? He'd done openly showed who he was. How are you going to take away what's been done? But now they can literally blaspheme the Holy Ghost himself as the Son of God. They can do what they want, and they're going to do it. I'm not fussing about it. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but there was wisdom there, but in demonstrates of spirit and power. Now you notice the man didn't only have a power ministry, he had a word ministry. So there's got to be a word ministry as well as a power ministry. And that's what Brother Branham said. If you see a healing revival that's not followed by a brand new message, you know that's a phony revival. That's a big thing for a prophet to say. He's coming right down the line and identifying a horse from a cow. Most people in church can't tell a horse from a cow until they're gored to death by the bull. And that's their tough luck. Because, you know, the enemy goes around like a ravening wolf and a goring bull to get you. Your face should not stand the words of man, but in the power of God. What do you mean the power of God? They saw it. Now you see where our faith is tonight? That's what he's trying to get across to us. And I'm not trying to point my finger at you. I'm horribly remiss in this myself. I'm just beginning to see a new evolution in this whole thing. Whether I'm going to get it or not, that's between me and God, between you and God. But you've got to broaden your horizons. Now this man is talking, but he's also part of it. He's not a part of the prayer, but this sermonizing. All right, listen. How be we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, glory is going to be complete when you get a body of glory like unto his. So we're getting there rapidly. But none of the princes of this world knew. That's the world order. World order cannot know the things of God. God has his own order. There's two orders. The word cosmos is in both places. The world of the ungodly perished, but the world of the godly didn't perish. Now, he's here to bring back divine order to his own world, and he's doing it in a bride. And if he doesn't get that bride cleaned up, what's use having a nice earth for? She'll just pick it up again. Oh, she'll mess it up 50 feet higher next time. I got no faith in mankind. Got no faith in me, no faith in you. But faith in God. That's why if God doesn't do it, isn't going to be done, because you and I can't do it. Oh, a lot of people think they're going to do it. Oh, they do it all right. Lord, spare me of getting in their way of what they're doing. So we'll tone that down. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What about this hour? Paul said positively in the Philippians that he longed to be a witness and a part of the power of the resurrection. That's impossible for him. No way. Because he couldn't drop what was being right in front of him. You had to go 2,000 years and then drop that. Then you lay aside the doctrines of repentance and justification, all those things and resurrection. Why? Because you're all wet in the first place. You're all roused up. Now you're coming to see a manifested doctrine. He's the doctrine as well as the Logos, the whole thing. And you see the proof there. Now you're ready to sweep into the kingdom without dying. See, listen, that's where we are, brother, sister. Either this whole thing is up for grabs and phooey, who cares? Or that's where we are, and you didn't do a thing about it, and I didn't do a thing about it. We have become witnesses looking at what has been done and is being done is going to be done. We're bystanders. I've seen some pretty good performances in my day. Outstanding ones. Not as many as some of you folks sitting here, but I've seen some good ones. And I'll tell you, all I had to do was to buy my ticket. Tonight the ticket is bought, and you got a ringside seat to see what God's doing, the great artist himself, the great sculptor, the great master builder, great sovereign creator. It doesn't cost you one nickel. My, my, my. And you talk about the bride. Brother Branham saw that bride marching. I tell you, have you ever seen that Bolshoi Ballet and some of those Ukrainians, if you're in America, they don't know how to dance. They're just poking around in the mud. Those people really can dance. That's, well, I'm going to tell you something. They're in a rhythm and a pattern. The bride's got them skunked. Yes, sir, boy. She's dainty, beautiful, and wonderful. She's a lady, every inch of her. God's lady, Christ's lady, right down the line, see? All right. Now, he said, I'm not wrong. God testifies to my message. See, and it should tell you who it is. should tell you, understand, this message is not William Branham's. What do you see over here? He said, you know, you might have thought that I was trying to say that about myself, being as packing his message. I had no more to do with it, nothing, no more than just a voice. It was his message. Moses' message, yet Moses' voice. Paul's message, God's message, yet Paul's voice. God's message, yet Moses' voice. Moses' message, Moses' voice, but God's word. Same deal, Brother Branham and Paul. All right. And you clearly hear me say it isn't I, so then it has to be he. All right, who is he? All right? That is the message that God has in his Bible for this hour, that Jesus Christ is here tonight and live. All right, Jesus Christ is same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. He is here. Is that right? Have faith in God then, and look this away, and you believe God. Now, how you believe in God? Believe that he's here. Believe that word. Believe the evidence of it. See, there is where faith lies today. See? It's got to be, because this is typed by Abraham and Sarah before the burning. See? It's not anymore looking down the road. The one who gave the promise after 25 years came and stood in the road and said, this is it. Well, said Abraham, hallelujah. I think I like it. And Sarah said, well, it'd be nice. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. We look back and we see how people acted. You know, there's only one thing that makes God happy tonight. Everybody getting together and talking this message. And he listens. He said, hey, that's great. Everybody wants to talk to God. Talk to God. Why don't we shut up and go home and listen to God for a change? See, never know. People didn't understand who Brother Branham was. You say, well, he's gone now. Oh, what has that got to do with it? God takes his man, but not the spirit. What does it matter if Paul died? What does it matter if you die? Good riddance to bad rubbish if I die. If I was going to say that about you, I wasn't going to change my mind. I wanted to be nice for a change. Exerts too much energy to be mean and cranky. All right. So then it has to be he. Is that right? Have faith in God then. Look this way. If you believe God, you grant it to you. If he can do like he did before, then he's still God. Do you believe that? Now the whole thing boils down then to the fact, is he God? Now here's where you're coming to Hebrews, if you haven't caught it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Is. You follow what I'm saying? The precept of faith, Hebrews 11. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And if you believe that he is, what is he? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. They're not a bunch of fly by night and fly loose the gearbox. They watch, and they say, when they see the word fulfilled, they say, that's it. See? Okay. Skip to the next page. 154 paragraph out of 28. It shall be light just about the evening time. Don't you see? He's here tonight. Now, I want you to notice, all through here, he's going to be very definite on the presence. Then why don't people understand it? Why do you have to tell people what they already know? They don't know. Brother Branham, listen again. Brother Branham said a great healing revival is no true revival unless there's a new message. Now he's taking all this time here. He's here, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. Well, what did he expect? Mother Goose? No, listen, I'm being pretty raunchy right now. I'm saying this on purpose. Because that's exactly where the fundamental is. And too many of us are still there. It's a Mother Goose rhyme. Piece of fable. Not the presence of the living God. The bride ripening in the sun. They don't believe there's a sun to ripen in. Don't tell me the baptism of the Holy Ghost ripening in the sun. They've had it for 2,000 years. Not what the prophet said. He's here tonight. He's the great I Am, the burning bush. Moses, Paul, William Branham, Burning Bush, Damascus Road, get the turnpike. Or one of the places. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? Are you satisfied and convinced that this is Jesus Christ making himself known, identifying himself in prophecy? That's not 50 years ago. Well, maybe it is 50 years ago. 33, yes. Not 100 years ago. In other words, I'm trying to say it's not Seventh Church Age Pentecostalism. It's not Wesleyanism. It's not Lutheranism. It's not Catholicism. It's not anything. It's something entirely new. And everything he's saying is predicated upon a presence, and there's the picture. And every bit of the ministry is to make you understand that is he. A picture of him. And the presence. But people get taken away by the peripheral. 1977, I began preaching presence. Now, a friend of mine talked to me from Canada. And I said, I don't say I'm the only one doing it. But remember this. Brother Branham said, Christ to Mr. God revealed. It was revelation. Preeminence. And back to Eden. I said, we've had the revelation. But who's given him preeminence? I said, I believe by the grace of God I am because I'm preaching him. And until we see this, there can be no preeminence. Making William Branham God and everything else and everything. Oh, God, hippity. I'll explain this just a little while. Don't worry if we get there tonight sometime. We don't get there tonight, get there another night. Are you satisfied and convinced that this is Jesus Christ making himself known, identifying himself in prophecy? That is Jesus Christ. And he has identified himself in prophecy, brought it all out here. But you see, they didn't like the message because no one understood Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 12, which was God in the form of Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit, coming to the Gentiles and doing exactly in that form in the pillar of fire what he did in the form of flesh. Now get that understanding in your mind. You've got to have it, brother, sister. You don't know this message. Or either I don't know it and care less than. Forget it. I've been wasting my time. I haven't wasted my time. No way, shape, and form. Nobody's going to tell me that. I know where I stand in the Word of God. My word's just as good as William Branham's word because that's what I based it on. He's the one that said it was Matthew 4. And it was Matthew 4, it's Matthew 12. There's a whole lot more there than the Matthew 4, but that's all he needed to go into that time. He said, others to break it down to so-and-so. Now, this is Jesus Christ making himself known. Then the baptism with the Holy Ghost did not make him known as he is known now. Absolutely not. Paul said you're full of the Holy Ghost. And said you're showing love. And I mean, that love has got to be there. Love of that word. Love of the truth. He says, I cease not to give thanks and make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's a new knowledge. Yes, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot know him the way you're supposed to know him outside of knowing this and this word, this whole thing. I'm not trying to segregate this message and put it into parts. I'm doing this on purpose so that you'll see the complete synthesis of it in one complete whole. Many times you've got an analyzer taken into parts. You never saw a mechanic train and say, look at the motor, look at the motor, look at the motor. So you rip it apart, let's build it. That's how you train a mechanic. We got a whole word here. Rip it apart, put it together, see where you're going. Now, if you probe and rip it apart and can't put it together, you better watch your step. It means you're not called to that office. Personally, I don't care who does what. I have a gift, I'm so lazy it's pitiful. See? But he blesses me just the same. He said, are you satisfied? All right, now Linda, this is Hebrews 13 and 8, spoken by Paul. His reference is the same, for God came in a pillar of fire. And that's when Paul said he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And though we knew him after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He didn't know him. But now he wants to know him in the power of the resurrection and meet him face to face and put on that body of glory. And he will one of these days. But he won't know him ahead of us. Oh, yes, he will. He's up there ahead of us just a tiny bit. They're the first ones up. I don't begrudge that. They're worth it. See, God identifying himself. Now, He said, are you satisfied and convinced that this is Jesus Christ, making himself known, identifying himself in prophecy? Now, what you're showing here now is the fact that what I have been taking from this message is proven in that sentence. For he said, are you satisfied and convinced that this is Jesus Christ making himself known, identifying himself in prophecy? He did not do that previously. See? It's the hour of the complete revelation of the preeminence, of the power of the resurrection, of the rapture, of the wedding supper. Paragraph 157. Listen, Lord, listen, hear me. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord? But what came to pass? Now, if I were to ask you tonight, give me a definition of that one sentence. Tell me exactly what the prophet said that is. You know what that is? I'll tell you, because you won't tell me. You've forgotten. That's God manifest in flesh. Has there been any time when God was manifested in flesh that ever was wrong? Brother Branham categorically said, when you see or hear a man that says these words that he himself cannot bring to pass, and they come to pass every time, that is God manifested in human flesh. God manifested in flesh. Now you can begin to see the Son of Man a little more clearly here. Because the Son of Man is God. Holy Spirit. Can't be two Holy Spirits, three Holy Spirits. One. I don't understand the whole thing, but I understand this part. Pillar of fire, William Branham. Now William Branham begins to speak. God is manifesting himself in human flesh. Was anything ever told wrong? No. Then God has manifested himself through human flesh, through signs and wonders, and by a picture. Why all the trouble? Oh, so the Baptists can put him in their corner. Here, Jesus, here they're in the corner. And the Pentecostals, in our corner. Come on, hey, Jesus, raise the dead. Do some figures for us. No! He's the head. And they'll all die. With spiritual and physical death, you don't make them the head. Who disagree with what the prophet said. I tell you, brother, sister, if I am telling you wrong tonight, I'll just say one thing. There's something awful wrong with both William Branham and the God that he serves. That may be bold words. Might have to eat them. And I feel checked and sane, but I'm saying for one purpose. William Branham and God are both intelligent. And they deal with the language as we understand language. Chronology and all of it. And he harped and he harped and he harped and he called and he called on one principle. There is a message for every hour. When there's a great healing revival, that message must be a brand new one. Or wasn't the true revival. And the true message is this, the Lord himself has come down with a shout. Who came down? Well, I want to know some answers, brother, sister. Got a whole letter written to me, man. I don't think this turned me on tonight. No, this didn't do it. It's written 2 years ago. They can't understand why we're so adamant, we're so strong. But it's okay for the goody-goody gumdrop boys to be liars. And be scurrilous. As long as you're sweet like they're sweet. Well, I'm not sweet like they're sweet, and I don't intend to be. I intend to be kind and loving. And helpful, good, by the grace of Almighty God. But I don't intend to accommodate myself to anybody's word but this. If the pillar of fire is not here to lead us in the lane, then Brother Branham lied to us. You're a plain plump liar. And I just say one thing. If he was a false prophet and could do what he did, may God send us a true one just for fun. Because we're shocked by following a false one. No, brother, sister, don't kid yourself. If I told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass, that's God manifest in flesh. Is that right? Everything has always been right. I've never asked you for one penny money in my life, have I? Not one time. Never took an offering in my life. I'm not here for money. I'm not here to deceive you. I'm here to manifest God's word of the hour. Now watch. I'm here to manifest God's word of the hour. Phew! Listen. He didn't say I'm here to testify to God's word. I'm here to manifest it. Well, you got 40 people here. Let's all try to manifest it. Who'll be the first one? Should we pool our resources? Fact. Manifest God's word. I'd like to see somebody say that I'm going to manifest God's word. Of the hour. Oh, Pentecostals, they'll jump up and down and talk in tongues. Wonderful. If that was the word of the hour, don't ask me. I just can't receive that one either. The Nazarene tell how holy they are. Ha! Not with my telescope eyes. Oh, you need telescope eyes for that one. Same categories of Mormons. False doctrine. False prophets. False teachers. What about the Lutherans, the rest of them? Well, to a degree, they manifested for the hour. But Brother Branham declares his ministry. I'm here. What's he say here? From that time, 62, Seattle, this is my ministry to declare that he is here. My ministry then is to back up my message that he is here. I'm going to manifest it. Oh, brother, sister, you got to be just more than talking acquaintance to Almighty God or a little peek through your telescope. You got to be like John, conversational with Almighty God. And Paul, conversational. And John the Baptist, conversational. You just can't be run-of-the-mill like we are. Oh, praise God for run-of-the-mill. There's more of them than the other, but... See? Manifest it. Bring it into view. Only the prophet could do it. Only he could demonstrate it. See? What is the word? He's here. Logos. I'm here to prove Logos. You can't see him. There's a picture. Here's a picture here. Everybody's buffalo. Vapor, smoke. Up there where there's no vapor, no smoke. But there it is, vapor, smoke. Ring of angels. Say, well, just a minute. Don't, that's just a minute. Nobody. That's the prophet said so. You show me anybody else backed up like this man was. Show me. Nobody. Not all together. I said, I'm going to manifest that word. I'm going to bring him into plain view. I'm going to prove that he is here. Then you better listen. Because God be a message. It won't be the old message. No. You'll blow your brains out on this one trying to get the new message and the old message together because you can't put new patch in old garment. Or she'll blow her high in a kite. You can't put new, fairly still, you can't put new wine in old bottles. Old goat skins. Hey, goats. Goat skin bottle, though, usually had the goat taken out. But he had enough of the skin, that'd be pretty raunchy. Sometimes I don't even like good mutton. That's too bad. All right, listen. Sheep are good sheep, though, it's all right. I've told you the truth. And God has testified that it is the truth. Certainly. When was it ever wrong? God in human flesh cannot be wrong. The prophet cannot be wrong. God's in the prophets. I tell you, remember this is these same sermons Brother Branham said? He only can tell it as he sees it and say it word for word. Talk about a photographic mind. He doesn't have a photographic mind, he's got a Holy Ghost mind. Got the mind of Christ. Now I tell you, thus said the scriptures. That if the believer lays his hands upon the sick, Jesus said they shall recover. Now watch what he's doing. He's building an entire and more magnificent platform for the release of faith on a scripture that's been almost bandied to death. It's been used time after time after time. They shall recover. Do you believe that? Then in the presence of God. Watch, I use that term presence all the time. Don't you believe he'll do it right now? Now listen, he said, I'm the one that can manifest the word which I have manifested and will now that he is here. Then in his presence, if you know what I'm saying, he said, you will lose your faith on the scripture that you've been trying to lose your faith on for years and you're still sitting there sick. Now, we've had a lot of scripture sitting in the Bible here. It's been used once in a while, and it's a good effect. What happened to the bride's revival? She hasn't even caught this. Now, I can preach mechanics till the cows come home. And I can preach it till the saints are taken home. And there will be healed and miss everything. And you can be sitting there and do the same way. Because Brother Branham said, you've got to be anointed to receive it, the same as I got to be anointed to give it. Now, the only reason I'm preaching mechanics is because I believe this, that if I get as far as the mechanics, then God has got to bring on the dynamics. If my mechanics are right, then God has got to do something with it, because that's the whole story. Brother Branham's mechanics was right. He was a prophet born in a certain way. He is a member of the bride. He was to do a job for this hour, and the dynamics came upon him. Then in the presence of God, don't you believe he'll do it right now? Now, he's trying to pick your faith up and show you to make every word in the Bible live. See? Now, put your hands one on another and just hold them there for a minute. Don't pray. Just put your hands one another out there in the land. And me, myself, I'm laying myself on these over these handkerchiefs. Now, I want you to look at me just a minute. What has God left undone? That's the question. Nothing except come down, hit your baseball bat, and pour it in you. That's not God's plan. Right? This is it. Look how he's what the word that we have read. In other words, look how he is that very word that we've read. The prophecies that we have told. That Jesus identified himself by the prophecies. Now, how did he do it? By letting the prophet talk after God manifested in human flesh, proving there. See? Now look at the hour in these last 3 weeks where we placed that hour we're living. For 3 weeks in preaching along this line. We've been preaching longer than that, I guess. Because we can't do a good job like he does so quickly. Look at what we have read. How about the false prophets and almost signs that would deceive the elected? They can't do it, though. How the word has been manifested. That's the Logos. Through a prophet. That one there, the pillar of fire is not he. William Branham is not he. But you see, Logos, prophet, Holy Spirit moving through him. God in human flesh, Son of Man revealed, the Word living itself amongst the people. Got to have a prophet. Just keep that in mind. How the Word has been manifested, how the God of this age has blinded by the lie hearts of the people. They don't believe that. And how that God himself has said through his prophecies, that these things would take place at this Laodicea age. There's nothing left undone. God is here just the same God that talked to those people on Emmaus. That identified himself by the prophecies that was foretold to him. He's here tonight identifying his presence by the prophecies foretold for this age. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you believe it? All right. Let's go back to page 27. And the last line of 144. That is the message that God has in his Bible for this hour, that Jesus is here tonight and is alive. That's the Emmaus Road. Now, on the Emmaus Road, they saw him, but they didn't see him. For the simple reason they mistook him for a stranger. And he revealed all the prophecies. And they recognized by a sign that he did. You got the same thing here. We can't see him, but we get the message. And we know it's a true message by the proper signs, so therefore the hour is identified. We know where we're at. Then don't tell me he's not here. People just back in Pentecost. Now listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, why does he use this phraseology, Hebrews 13:8? Now we're going to throw this into another dimension. Not just the dimension we say right down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, because it is that, we're going to take it further. Now we're going to put it right down to the place, the same yesterday and today and forever, wherein God uses the prophet. So Hebrews 13:8, the Alpha under Paul becomes the true Omega under William Branham, that Hebrews 13:8 is 100% true in its finality. Because before we were just mouthing. We were just talking. But now you got the picture. There it is right there. You got the word. You got the word vindicated. So now you see God made flesh. Hebrews 13:8. Can't change. Never will. So Hebrews 13:8 for Mark is 16 is very peripheral. It's there, but don't get carried away. Can you believe it? Then lay your hands upon one another. In other words, he's saying, now lay your hands knowing he's here. Knowing I am, who I am, what's going on, Now, it's yours. Now, we can just hold our places, which I don't know. I'm not too enthusiastic. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm not too enthusiastic about me, and I'm not too enthusiastic about you, but I know you and I both can, by the grace and help of God, come to this place I'm talking of. Where there's not a striving, there's a naturalness, there's a revelation. As Brother Branham said, of course, you have to be anointed to receive the revelation you're healed. We struggle, we flop around, and he said, the revelation of his name, Jesus, there's not enough left power in it anymore to even get a little bit of a healing. They scream it, they cry, they jump up and down, they agonize, but the name doesn't work. He said, under the seven thunders, the name would be the new name revealed. I don't know what that means. He wouldn't tell me. So I've got no way of communicating to you. But I know one thing, and that is certainly this. It has taken on a new depth, as we understand what we're talking about tonight. I'm not saying that's it. No, don't anybody ever say for 1 minute, because I'm contradicting you right now. If you think I'm saying that that is a new name revealed at thunders, nah, I don't buy that for 1 minute, or the word or anything else, because I don't know. If I don't know, I don't know. But I do know what I'm talking about here. He threw this into another dimension. And that dimension we missed. If we'd have got it, the time he said he only knew who I was, you'd all be healed. That's exactly true. But I'm going to tell you one thing. William Branham is not dead. Any more than Moses, Isaac, Abraham, or the rest of them, or Jesus Christ himself. And I mean that in the realm of the spirit, not the physical. Because God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. There's only one real living one, and that's Jesus Christ, and they live by the same one, even as we live by. There's no difference just because the man's passed on and his body. And lay your hands upon one another. Don't pray for yourself, but in your own way, for that person you got your hands on because they're praying for you. Now, don't doubt. Okay? And if you could see what I'm looking at, I tell you by vision. And you know I wouldn't lie to you, standing here. If you could see and your faith could draw that great Holy Spirit that sailed yonder in the air, there it is there, the signs, ring of angels, took the picture of, and see it moving through this building, just trying to find a place to land, trying to find an anchor place, only believe it, my brother. In other words, God more willing than we're willing to receive, takes a revelation. Presence of God. He's identified by scripture and so forth. That's right. That's right. Now pray with sincerity for that person you got your hand on your praying view. All right, now watch. There's a double emphasis coming up in this sentence. Dear Jesus of Nazareth, why we are conscious, Lord, by the word that you're here, by the promise that you're here. All right, we're conscious by the word. That's the scriptural doctrine and the logos visibly manifested through the prophet proven that he is here. And also by a promise where two or three are gathered there in the midst. See? And these signs of fall in belief, that's a promise. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. All over the ways of this telephone, may the great Holy Spirit go into every congregation. May the same holy light that we look at right here in the church, may it fall upon each and every one that may be healed at this time. All right, what are we looking at? We're looking at a positive return back in the days of Pentecost. When a true, positive, genuine sealing in. A true, positive baptism. A true dealing with the Holy Ghost himself, God, is right now, not in the offing, but is right here. We rebuke the enemy, the devil, in the presence of Christ. Notice that word again, in the presence of Christ. We say to the enemy that he is defeated by the vicarious sufferings, the death of Jesus Christ, and the triumphant resurrection on the third day. And he's proven, evident, that he's here among us tonight, alive after 1900 years. Now, just a minute, where was he in the 1900 years? I want our critics to answer that question. Oh, see, well, he's always been here. They've always known he was here, my brother and my sister. Brother Lawrence, the monk, practiced the presence of Christ. The sister in China practiced the presence. Christ is here. Not like this. That's where they're missing the boat. They're trying to apply this new doctrine to an old doctrine, making the new doctrine a cliche. A redundant bit of material that places the prophet as arrogant, not the least humble. Let the Spirit of living God fill every heart with faith and power. That's what he's doing. And the healing virtue from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is identified now by this great light circling the church, in his presence. Notice he said again, in his presence. Well, if he weren't in his presence, he wouldn't be here. And if he is here, then we wouldn't be in his presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, grant him for glory of God. May these handkerchiefs that we pray over, may they go to the sick and afflicted that they're intended to. May the same Holy Ghost that's here now identify himself on every patient that these are laid upon. See? Identified by doing the word. Now let the word be done in the people. May the presence of God, there it is again, so fill their heart with faith, God I've been talking about, until the sickness of their body be healed. As it gets the preeminence, the revelation becomes stronger and stronger. There's only one thing can happen, that's the love of God is going to take preeminence. And that sweet spirit's going to see people healed left and right. I believe that. I don't know that I'm right, but I believe it's going to happen. From what Brother Branham said. I hope I haven't carried it too far. I don't think so. Alright. Alright, now this one who's identified, that's the paragraph under 660 says. Alright, now notice, he's identified by signs, identified by two pictures. Also, we see the prophet there revealing him. Because remember, the prophet reveals the Son of Man. That's right. God reveals himself, the Logos, through the prophet. Then he goes ahead and tells us all about it. Revealing. Okay, may the presence of God so fill their heart with faith until the sickness of their body be healed. This we ask for the glory of God in the presence of Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice he put the presence and the name together. Why? Then how are people going to pray the prayer the prophet prayed without doing that? Well, I always knew he was here. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, sure he did. You knew that? You're a liar. I don't care what the man said. That guy's a barefaced liar. He's as anti-Christ as... Who? The head of Saudi Arabia? Or maybe you go a little further. We never mind Saudi Arabia. Just go to Iran. You know that one. The Ayatollah. Just as anti-Christ. See? Just go back plumb away from the word. Because Brother Branham said, Moses, Paul, now. Now, did he say it or did he not say it? Then if he said it, we're standing on a different ground. We got a different message. The old one's gone. It's finished. Got to renew our minds. Get chucked full of the Word of God. As we, the servants of Jesus Christ, ask it, amen. Presence and name. See, his presence brings personal faith and then congregational faith. Presence brings a personal faith and then a congregational faith. How in the world can you have a congregation that sits here divided over whether you're in line with the minister or what he's teaching from what Brother Branham and the rest of the folk? Now, I don't say we're that way. I'm just bringing up the question, how in the world could it be? Now, you know that's easy. It'll backfire every single time. It's going to backfire. Pentecost died when they turned this down. Remember, missionary lines turned down the pillar of fire and died, and Pentecost is turning down the very pillar of fire that they had. Remember, Luther looked for this, the pillar of fire. Wesley looked for the pillar of fire. The Pentecost said they had it. They didn't. William Branham looked for it. He didn't even look for it, and the pillar of fire came to him, like Moses. Now from your hearts, I don't care what's wrong with you, you can from your hearts, can you from your heart believe with all your heart that the Word of God has granted you your request? All right, now that's fundamental to the heart, lining up. Come on, it's got to. Brother Branham one day said, when this and this and this become one, word, mind, heart, come on. No answer escaped you. He said, the right mental attitude. He said, when you get the right mental attitude during any promise in the book, he said, the Bible will bring you the answer. Of course, nobody thought to get the rest of it. The right mental attitude in any divine promise will bring it to pass. The right attitude is to receive it and say, it's thus saith the Lord. To receive and say, it's thus saith the Lord. That's God in his universe. So here you are. Okay. You on the telephone wires, if you believe with all your heart, as the ministers are laying hands upon you and the loved ones laying hands upon you, if you believe with all your heart, then it's finished, it's finished. The great Holy Spirit, he's here in the tabernacle tonight. I saw him over the people, showed himself over here in the side of the wall, went down upon a man, came down here and up through the building, making known the secrets of the hearts, the identification of his presence. People don't like that. That's too much like telepathy. Spirits can do it. They don't want that. I'm going to tell you what I told you. The great Myers down there, man, before he said, when we didn't have a TV set, but whenever I could see somebody else, he just gave me a big bang watching him. They just threw their questions in a great big fishbowl. He'd go up there, pull the question, won't he look at him, tell you what was on the paper, and then tell you what was going to happen. It happened. Now that man was hooked up to some power, but it wasn't the power of God. But he didn't say, thus saith the Lord, either. He didn't talk about Jesus Christ the righteous. Now here's a man, William Branham, and thus saith the Lord, comes the name of Jesus Christ. You think God's going to back him up if the guy's a charlatan? Ha ha! Where's God's integrity then? God plays fast and loose then. He wouldn't be fit to be trusted. No way. No way, brother, sister. God's got integrity, far more than you and I got all this put together. There's no way he's going to let somebody come by and use his name like that and back him up. No way, shape, and form. Now, he'll let him use the name like casting out devils and little things like that. When it comes to this word, that's another thing entirely. Show me anybody who could do what Brother Branham did. He manifested the word. Manifested God. I don't care what anybody says. Or I say, well, if we all do that in a degree, that's true, you do, but not this degree. I'm talking about something entirely different. Once in... Three times, one out of three in 6,000 years. See? Showed himself, came down here. The identification knows the word presence again. Identification presence. To show that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in our midst. He's God and never failing God. Now remember, Hebrews 13:8, then has a greater application for this hour than it's had previously. In other words, I'm trying to tell you something. The name of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, Hebrews 13:8, does not do for others what it does for us. I'm sorry, it doesn't stand in. When Jesus said God was his father, according to Dr. Woosten, he says that when he said that, he's literally saying that God was his father in a way that he wasn't anybody else's father, and that's what we're talking about tonight. That God is dealing with us in a way he's not dealing with anybody else. That does not make us puffed up or anything else, but it makes us a people who can give him preeminence. Remember, it doesn't make us take eminence over anything or any preeminence. It humbles a person down, see? He's God, the never-failing God. And did not our hearts burn within us, and does it not burn now to know that we are now in the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and praise forevermore, who is the image, the express image of the Almighty Jehovah, who sailed down in the form of a pillar of fire and a burning bush, back to Moses, to attract hence the prophet, back to Paul, back to William Branham, who has descended upon the mountain, anyone that even touched it was to be killed beside Moses and Joshua, how it was he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. He's doing it now on their journey. As a type of the called out people today. Well, my brother and my sister, are we there yet? No, we're still on the journey in the wilderness. Who's doing it? He is. He couldn't do it before because he hadn't come down before. He said, well, I believe he came down before. Well, I don't care if he came down before. He didn't come down this way. People argue. What they're trying to tell you is this. Hey, we didn't have to have nothing from him. We had it already. Us Pentecostals. Let me tell you something. Pentecostal bunch. Right to the core messed up. No soundness. From the head to the heel. Every table full of vomit. Ooh, I love vomit. Give me some more. That was good. Luther. Fat. You can't even stand a fly. I could eat a fly. I think it was roasted. But I can't stand there a hogwash. I'm not about to stand it by the grace of Almighty God. God help me. I'm not about to stand it. I don't think in my heart to do with that stuff. I want a new message. For a new age, a new hour, brother, sister. To attract attention to the prophet who has descended upon the mountain and so on. Now listen. Here he is by scientific research. There he is, both pictures. Even identified himself before science. And by his very actions and by his very prophecy, the things that prophesied of him to do in this day, to make him the same yesterday and today and forever, has been perfectly vindicated. All right, then Hebrews 13:8 cannot be fulfilled without a prophet. Otherwise, you're guessing. You just think. Because you can't prove it. But when he comes on the scene, the way he's supposed to come on the scene, according to Scripture, and does on the scene what he's supposed to do by the same Scripture, and it's manifested, then you do know that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he can't without a prophet. There's an in-depth to these things, brother, sister, and just keeps on spiraling from the negative to the positive. And it's not finished yet. And by his very actions, by his very prophecy, the things that's prophesied of him to do in this day, to make him the same yesterday, today and forever, has been perfectly vindicated, continually vindicated, isn't it enough to make our hearts burn within us? See? Remember the burning bush? Pillar of fire in the bush? That I am, that I am. Is he any different? It's the same one. Same manifestation, same God, same everything. I remember Brother Branham said in Genesis 18, that was Elohim. Not two gods, not three gods. I can't explain it. I know there's one God. That's a revelation. If I try to figure it, I can't do it. Maybe someday he'll help me. It's immaterial. There is one God. Whether I can explain it, you can explain it. I know one thing. That same one God appeared. His picture was taken. You say, well, that's a pretty funny looking God. You got a misconception there. You're not seeing God. You're seeing the light that veiled him. No man can see God and live. God have a mask. And the mask is removed through discourse. Now, what if a prophet had not come on the scene to explain all these things? Where would God be? Where would we be? Wouldn't be any good. Be dead loss the whole time would be gone. Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time, shall we? Sunday morning at 10:30. Gracious God and eternal Father, how we praise you again for your love, mercy, and kindness that you bestowed upon us. We know, Lord God, there's none beside thee. There's nothing worth glorifying but you, Lord. There's nothing in this life, Father. The fact of the matter is, if you were not here and you were taken away somehow, which cannot be, then how would anything be? It would all go back to nothingness. What is nothingness? There's no way, Lord, that our minds or imaginations could ever turn you away or denigrate your great position, no matter how we talk. Sounds too flip at times, Lord, too pat. And too human, Lord, but we know in our hearts and our minds the sobriety of it. And we do rejoice in the revelation, not just in the fact that we are knowing things, Lord, because we could come to the place where Paul said, though I know all things and have all revelation and have all faith and have this and that and have not love, have God himself, then where am I at? It wouldn't do any good. But Lord, tonight we believe that in this particular hour, this particular time, that we have not taken these things, Lord, simply by a discipline that we have come to in ourselves, but it has come because you drew us, and we saw that, not knowing you were there, that something was there, that here was a man we had to listen to. And we're glad, Lord, that we have listened. We only hope that we've listened correctly, attentively, seriously, soberly. May it be more and more so, Lord, that this night has started a night. I don't know if it has. I cannot tell what's happening or what will not happen or will happen. But I would pray, Lord, that from the word spoken and the very evidence of what we have looked at in this message and from the experiences of the past with the prophet, with thy great self, Lord, that there is a plateau that is being left to reach for a higher understanding and a revelation, Lord. But, oh God, let it not be just for the sake of a mind. Or the sake of a people, Lord, who would be something. But Lord, for thy glory and thine honor, that we might be a witness to your word, Lord, and manifest your word as living epistles read and known of all men. Help us to bring our thinking down, Lord, and become very, very small in our eyes as we ought to be, Lord, and not think of ourselves in any way we ought not to think. But every man and every woman, Lord, and every one of us, every child, learn quickly to have full proof in our lives, to manifest whatever ministry we have, which can be one of hundreds, according to Irenaeus, showing mercy with cheerfulness, and godly giving, and so many things, Lord, that people are unaware of. It's all part of a manifested word, but what would it be without the truth? Proving that it is true manifested word, not some pseudo false feigned thing. For you said, let love be unfeigned. And we have an unfeigned love for the brethren. So tonight, Lord, we're just pleading with you, though we know we don't need to plead, but we need to be more serious and lay ourselves open to it. That the depth of what we have learned not escape us, but be energized, dynamized to us. Not simply to have our requests that are in the Word given to us, though that's wonderful. but to be one with you, and you one with us, no matter what. The deep settled peace of God and the graces of God, so a part of our souls and our spirits and our very physical lives, our minds and all, that it would be true, living epistles, ambassadors for Christ. As Brother Branham said, little messiahs. These things, Lord, are what we would like in the true realm of humility, so that you get the preeminence, because that's what you're going to get anyway. And if we don't give you now, every tongue will have to confess while every knee bows. You're going to have it anyway. May we have it in this day of grace, Lord, in love and respect, humility, sobriety, sincerity, with the unfeigned love of the brethren, counting our lives not dear, but even laying our neck down for our loved ones, not our personal families, but the bride of Jesus Christ, if and when necessary, Lord. It might be, we don't know. Counting all things but lost to gain that excellency, striving to serve in all respects. Father, anybody can pray like we're doing tonight and could end up just words. Save us from our own tongues and our own words, Lord. For we know that you've already told us, let our words be few, for you're in heaven and we're on earth. And give not the sacrifice of fools, God. We don't want to be that way. In our hearts, Lord, we want to be right. And there's only one that can help us. You brought us this far, Lord. May we open up as never before, and so we ought to, never before, to consecrate ourselves for you. We ask these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sunday morning, 10:30. Just so you take the name of Jesus with you.